Have you ever found yourself in the quiet of the night, scrolling through your phone, searching for something, yet not sure what? It's in these moments, the silence around us can feel deafening, prompting us to ponder, is this all there is to life? Welcome to Keep the Faith. I'm Adam Burton, and today, on this special Easter episode, we're diving into a concept far beyond routine changes or new habits. We're exploring living new, a journey of deep, inner transformation. It's about a shift so profound, it moves us from merely existing to thriving, all for God's glory.
Today on Keep the Faith, join Adam as he unravels the essence of Easter, shedding light on the transformative power of Christ's love. As we delve into Romans 6, we're reminded of the significant change Christ ignites within us, propelling us from everyday survival to a light that shines brightly. Stay with us as we journey from the heart transformed to living a life reflecting God's glory.
Have you ever been up late at night there in your room where the only light is what's coming from your phone as you just scroll and scroll? You're looking for something, but you're not really sure what. In that silence, have you ever wondered, isn't there more to life than just this? Let me tell you about someone. Let's call him Jordan. Now, Jordan's not a real person, but they could be anybody, maybe even you. Jordan's the kind of friend who is always there, dependable. He's always ready to help or ready to even just listen. But Jordan shares a secret that might sound pretty familiar. Even though they do everything right, they're a good person, everybody loves them, but they feel like something's missing, like there's an empty space inside. Today, and I mean particularly today, because it's Easter, we're not just going through the usual routine. We're talking about something called living new. And it's not just about making some small changes or picking a few good new habits. It's more than that. It's about a deep inner transformation. Paul, from the Bible, he wants to ask something that maybe you've even thought about too. This idea that if we are forgiven, then why don't we just keep on sinning? If the bad things that we do, Jesus is going to forgive us, then what's to keep us from doing more sinning? It's a tough question. But Paul goes on deeper, suggesting that grace, it's this incredible forgiveness that we get, isn't just about us getting a second chance. It's more about us stepping into a whole new way of living. Today, we're zeroing in on something big. It's how Christ sparks a deep change within us, moving us from just getting through each day to truly thriving and shining brightly for something that is way beyond ourselves, for God's incredible glory. Now, starting this journey can seem daunting, like you're stepping out onto a path all by yourself. But it all kicks off with just one step, with yours, with mine. And with each step that we take, we get to see something amazing happen, that hope becomes something that you can almost touch, a love that knows no limits. And the future, friends, it's not just bright, it's glowy, because we are walking in this path together. You see, living new isn't just about the things that we do on the outside or trying to be a better person. It's about a change that happens right in our hearts, sparked by the love that Christ has for us. And it touches everything that we do. Each choice we make, every single step we take, they reflect His grace. And so as we explore this further today, I want you to keep this in your heart right here. In Christ, our hearts change, moving us to live for God's glory. You see, this is what Easter is all about. It's not just about a chapter of a book from the past or something you might see on the History Channel. No, it's a fresh, living invitation to a life marked by a deep transformation, a solid hope, and a joy that is lit from the inside by Christ's love. So I invite you to turn in your bulletins and in your Bibles today. On the back side page of the bulletin, we've got an outline to help you to follow along. And then in your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Our first point this morning is the heart transformed. The heart transformed, dying to sin. Have you ever stood at a crossroads knowing that your next choice could change everything? When we dive into what Paul says here in Romans 6, it's like we're sitting right down with the apostle over a cup of coffee, and he's telling us this message with real heart to heart, and he just puts it out there, this question we've already asked. But if we are always forgiven, why not keep sinning? But then you can almost feel the seriousness as he says, absolutely not. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Here Paul throws down a challenge. Should we keep sinning so that we get more of God's grace? No way. I mean, how can we who have stepped away from sin go back to living that life? I mean, don't you get it? It's like being baptized, as we saw earlier, it's like we are being buried with Christ. And just as Christ was raised from the dead, we, full of glory, we are too invited to live in a completely new life. But Paul here isn't just talking about like the physical act of baptism. He's digging even deeper than that. It's about joining with Jesus in his death, in his resurrection. It means us saying goodbye to our old selves and embracing the life that is filled with vitality and direction. See, this path isn't really about the baptism itself. It's about a deep inside-out change of our heart and soul. I picture this, right? Somebody's caught in a fierce grip of the sea. They can't swim. They begin to go under, and they're struggling for air, overwhelmed by the waves. And then suddenly, a lifeguard cuts through the chaos, racing to save them. They're pulled out of the water, but unfortunately, they're unresponsive. Yet the lifeguard doesn't just say, oh, I did the best I could. No, he gets to work, tirelessly trying to breathe life back into them, pressing on their chest, desperate to see them breathe. See, this scene, this battle for breath, this fight for survival, it mirrors us as we are overwhelmed by our own sin. But then there's Jesus, oh, our Savior, who is braving the storm to come and to save us. His sacrifice, his resurrection act is like a lifeline. It's pulling us from the brink, infusing our lives with a new purpose. Oh, friends, this is a fresh start. A life that is now powered by his Spirit. But what does dying to sin really mean for us? Well, it's about the choices that we make every day. In those stressful moments that you have at work, do we contribute to the chaos, or do we become a source of peace? At home, do those decisions that we make with our families, do they reflect our belief, or do they lead us astray? See, when we turn our back onto sin, it means that we are choosing God's path, even when it's tough. And why make this change? We don't do it so that God might love us more, to make him think better of us. Rather, it's a heartfelt thank you for the boundless grace that he has shown us. It's living in a way that honors the new beginning that we have been granted. How do we keep making the right choices? Well, no, it's not a solo effort. But we rely on the Holy Spirit, tapping into this power to keep our lives in line with who we have become. And this means staying in touch with God every day through prayer, soaking in His words of Scripture, and being with people who will push us to grow spiritually. But here's the gist. Each day is filled with chances to live out this new life. Do you understand that? Each day, yes, even the weekends, is a day that is filled with chances that we get to live out this new life. It's in the way that we talk and how we treat others and our approach to problems. You see, all of these are opportunities to show off the change that Christ has made in us. See, we're meant to live so that people will notice something different, to see a light that is completely transformed and renewed. But this journey isn't something we do on our own. It's about supporting each other. That's why the church is so important. Because we support one another as we strive to mirror Jesus. And when we embrace this transformation, we turn ourselves into sources of hope and love, brightening those dark spots around us. But moving away from sin doesn't mean that we lose who we are. It doesn't mean that we now look different as far as our physical characteristics or even change the things that we do. It's more about fully stepping into our new selves in Christ. It's a move towards true freedom and happiness and uncovering our real purpose. You see, this journey with every single step and breath is incredibly worthwhile. It's about waking every day to a life that's not just restarted after we get that cup of joe in us, but it's a life completely reborn, filled with a new heart, with new wishes and a fresh path, like that person that's saved by the lifeguard. We have been handed a new chance to live a life that is rich and full and in true alignment with the one who has saved us.
You're listening to Keep the Faith with Adam Burton. As we pause our exploration of living new, consider this. In the midst of life's challenges, where do you turn to for strength and guidance? After today's message, Adam will offer insights on embracing transformation and a resource that can help guide us on this path of renewal. Don't go anywhere. Let's continue our journey with Adam as we discover the power of living a life marked by Christ's love.
Second point this morning is the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness alive in Christ. We move to verses 5 through 7 here in Romans 6. Paul now shares us, I think, something that's very transformative. It's this concept that we can turn our lives around in the most amazing way. He speaks here of a vibrant life that we can lead by connecting with Christ. This is a life that feels like starting anew every morning, leaving those mistakes and sins from yesterday behind, and embracing a day that is filled with opportunities of shining hope. We read, "For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin." Here Paul is showing us a vivid image, and it goes beyond just changing our thoughts. It's more than just trying to, just to visualize, to will better thinking. It's more about a deep transformation of our very selves. Our past. Oh, we've all got one. Think about it. Think about the worst things that you have done. All of those regrets, all of those sins. In Christ, they no longer control us. Through Jesus' love and His sacrifice, we have been given the opportunity to begin every single day new, bathed in freedom and the possibility of making different and better and right choices. See, this newfound freedom influences our daily walk. We begin to steer clear of those habits and behaviors of our old selves. Our decisions begin to reflect a genuine internal shift. And this might get seen in those small choices that we make, like opting for kindness instead of irritation, practicing patience in those frustrating situations, or showing love when it's just easier to not even care. See, these transformations become evident in even in those quiet aspects of our lives, to make our homes a place of peace, where our the kids and our husbands and wives, we want to spend time with each other at dinner, or going out for the evening, or playing a fun game at night. It means prioritizing honesty at work, even when it's tough, even if you might be the only one who's doing it, or extending a helping hand to those who are in need. You see, every gentle word, every instance of choosing patience, and each act of love show us this new existence that we have embraced. And by embracing this lifestyle, it's not about pushing ourselves to the limit or going at it alone. No, it's nurtured through this close relationship with Jesus, engaging with Him daily in prayer. When we open our lives and we really, truly seek His guidance, we come to Him before we choose the wrong path, and not just ask Him to fix our messes, but truly ask Him to help us to live rightly in the first place. It flourishes when we immerse ourselves into the Bible. When we get to explore God's profound love for us, we find our path there. And when we join together with others in this journey, we encourage each other to share both of our joys and challenges. Now, sometimes we think that when we become a follower of Christ, that it's all about these things that we have to do. It's like we're given a new checklist of items that we've got to check off this list. But it's more than a list of do's and don'ts. It's about taking on the life of Jesus. And when we do that, we begin to radiate hope and love, demonstrating this transformation that has ignited within us. You see, our lives, and they beckon others. They allow others in our circles and even those outside to get just a glimpse of what it truly means to live a vibrant Christian life. You see, it's in this fresh, new existence of ours that our actions and our decisions, they align with the grace that God has given us. So when we extend forgiveness, man, it becomes our second nature. Right? As we comprehend the depth of the forgiveness that we have received from God, love becomes our instinctive response. We don't love out of obligation or because that's what we're supposed to do. We do it because of who we have been transformed in Christ. So may we carry these profound insights with us each day. May it influence our conversations with each other, with our interactions, and may it fill our lives with Jesus' love. Because when we do this, we embrace this transformative truth that not only reshapes us, but it also has the potential to revitalize the world around us. Brings us to our last point, living for God's glory, living for God's glory, reflecting Christ in all that we do. Just as we journey from who we once were to living fully in Christ-like, we come to this pivotal question. How does this shift truly affect how we live our lives every day? Well, Paul, with his deep insight, doesn't just kind of give us a hint. Oh no, he boldly declares that Christ's impact should saturate every single corner of our lives. And as we dig into these verses, beginning in verse 8, be open and ready for the challenge. Because Paul's words, all right, they're just not some good motivational speech that he's given us. It's not a little bit of guidance. It's more than that. It's a call to a profound change. Because living in Christ isn't something that we add to our lives. No, it becomes our life. And it compels us to show God's glory in every moment. It says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he gives, he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. All this new life, this transformation becomes the heartbeat of your life. Every choice, every encounter becomes a chance to reflect his grace, to showcase Christ's love in those big decisions that you have to make, but even in those everyday details. It's not about trying to become more religious, trying to fit a whole bunch of more activities. Now that I've got to go to church and all of this time, well, my days were already packed. I don't know how I'm going to fit something else in there. It's more than that. It's an invitation to see our whole lives, everything from those routine duties that we always have to do, to the casual conversations, from the paths that we walk, the decisions that we have to make. All of these are infused with a higher calling and purpose. Imagine, a mechanic. I just got grime from years in his fingers, and because of the grease that he's got, his clothes are tattered because this is a working man. But imagine he views each repair that he makes not just about fixing cars, but as healing hearts, offering every customer a level of respect that powerfully reflects God's love. Or envision that teacher who sees each lesson not merely just teaching subjects, but enriching lives, valuing every student as uniquely important, or the coach who gives of his time to be with kids. It's not just about teaching them how to throw a ball or shoot a basket. No, our jobs, our interactions, even the challenges we face, and if you've lived long enough, you've had a number of them. Each one of those becomes stages for demonstrating Christ's transformative love. And so living to glorify God, oh, friends, it involves a deep change, right? It's not about adding more tasks, but it's about mirroring Christ in every aspect of our lives. It's about turning those every day into a remarkable life, transforming them into a vibrant witness of our faith. And as we see, right, it's not about becoming more busy in our life. It's about re-envisioning each moment as a chance to highlight God's greatness, to express our faith in an amazing way through the life that we lead every day. So think about your everyday life. What do you do? The time that you wake up in the morning and you get your clothes on and you go through your morning routine and you go on to work or school, or hey, maybe you're at that point you get to enjoy the retired life. Oh, you're still to live for God's glory too. These moments that we have are not routine. But it's an opportunity to vividly demonstrate your faith. But it involves work. Right? We have the chance to show patience and kindness, forgiveness, and love. Every act, it's like a brushstroke on a blank canvas. And when we do that, we paint a picture of Christ's presence in our lives. That's not feeling burdened about this idea. I'm just too swamped to express my faith. Rather, it's a nudge to recognize that every part of our day is a chance to live out our faith. And so, when we embrace this perspective, every ordinary moment in our life gains a higher purpose. It's lived with an everlasting meaning. See, when we choose to live to glorify God, it turns those daily routines into powerful displays of the gospel. Now, it's not through those flashing gestures, but it's through being real. Authentic living out our faith, everyday devotion. So, may we live every day with confidence, making our commonplace, those lies, a remarkable testimony of His love. Let's ensure that when we open our mouth to speak, right, that every choice that we make, that every task that we have to do, it's all in the form of worship. Worship of the God who has saved us, who gives us forgiveness, who offers us a new life. As we bring this journey to an end this morning, I ask for our musicians to come on forward at this time. I want us just to spend a moment to reflect on this path that we've traveled together. All right, we began by embracing this profound truth that Christ, that in through Christ, our old selves, who are burdened by sin, they've now been left behind. But we know this transformation isn't just merely about exchanging bad habits for good ones, but it's a complete liberation of our souls, enables us to step into a new day, unencumbered by what haunts us from our past. And next, we've delved into the reality of being alive in Christ, recognizing that the resurrection isn't just a historical event, but it continues as an ongoing, vibrant reality in our lives. Right? It's not about superficial adjustments, playing the part of being a Christian. But it's about reorienting our deepest desires towards God's will. And finally, we explore what it truly means to live for God's glory. Understanding that every single aspect of our daily existence, no matter how ordinary, presents us with the opportunity to reveal the transformation that Christ has brought in us. Our everyday actions, our relationships, our very essence, get this, our very essence, just being who we are, can radiate the transformative love and power of Christ in our lives. When people look at you, who do they see? Who do they see? Do they see a good man or a good woman or a child? Or they see a wealthy person or a poor person? Or do they see somebody who, you know, loves Jesus, but they cuss a little? When they see you, what do they see? May we fully embrace this transformation. Let the gospel not just shape our words, but shine in our life, drawing others to discover this beauty and strength of a life that is surrendered to God. I mean, think about it. In every season, oh, we've got the ups and the downs and the time of calm, the chaos. May we remember our incredible calling. And it's simple Oh, but it's profound. To reflect God's glory in everything. To reflect God's glory in everything. And know that it's not something that we add to us. It reshapes our complete existence. It's the heartbeat of our journey. So when we stand here at this crossroads, we're faced with this call to reshape our lives in Christ. We find ourselves here at a pivotal moment. How will we answer this divine call? Because today is more than a day of coming together as family, have a good meal after church, even to celebrate in the day of Easter and worship. It's a day of action. So for anybody that's feeling this morning, this gentle push to start this transformative journey, to leave behind and to step into a new life with Christ. Oh, friends, we extend an invitation. I ask you to step forward as we sing here in a moment. I'll be standing down front. And it makes this moment of a public commitment to a new beginning. And when you do this, you join hands with a family of believers who walk together in light of God's glory. And hey, you're on the edge. You're curious, but you're just not ready. But you want to know more about how Christ's love can revolutionize your life. Please reach out. I one way you can just fill out the connection card. Just share your heart on there. Hand it to me or put it off. We'll get to it and we'll get together and to chat about it. But regardless, I want you to know that this is your moment with God. It's a step of faith toward a life that is illuminated by His grace and truth. And know that this invitation is open to a deeper fellowship with Him. So as we bring our time together to a close, I want us to not just end with words, but end with a sincere invitation to a life that reverberates throughout eternity. For in Christ, our hearts change, moving us to live for God's glory. So let this time of invitation, let it be a moment of deep reflection for making decisions. This sacred opportunity for us to answer God's call, this life-changing call. Because in Christ, our hearts change, moving us to live for God's glory. So may we let this profound truth settle in your heart, guiding you onward, lighting your way to shine this enduring love and hope in a world, friends, that so deeply longs for it. Would you pray with me? Well, dear Heavenly Father, God, oh, we thank you for the cross, that Jesus died on so that we don't have to be defined by our past, by our sin, but God, that we can walk in newness of life. For when Jesus rose on that third day, oh, He defeated our sin and He defeated death. God, that's how we can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Oh, it's not because of anything that we have. But it's all because of what Christ did. So God, I pray, God, that we would live our lives worthy of your calling, to live for your glory, to point others to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on Keep the Faith with Adam Burton. Today's journey from the heart transformed, the living for God's glory, reminds us of the profound impact Christ's resurrection has on our lives. It's a call to embrace a change that goes beyond surface-level adjustments, urging us to live in a way that reflects God's magnificence.
It's been a privilege to share this Easter message with you. If you felt a connection with today's sermon and are seeking more ways to deepen your faith,
I encourage you to visit our website at cbcmaysville.com. Here, you'll find additional resources to support you on your spiritual journey. Remember, the path from old to new is one we walk together, guided by the transformative love of Christ. Until next time, keep the faith, and may your life be a testament to the grace and glory of God.
This has been Keep the Faith with Adam Burton. We hope today's message inspires you to reflect on your own journey of transformation, that you find joy, hope, and purpose in every step of your walk with Christ. God bless you until we meet again.